Right. If you're here for the first time, you find us going through a series titled The Blessing of Honor. The Blessing of Honor. And today we're doing part six. I don't know how many parts we're going to do, but we're going to do this as long as it takes for us to understand what honor is about. And the Lord is going to bless you. Now, for the past 4 weeks, we started talking about God honor. It took us 4 weeks to talk about God honor. And the reason why I took that long to talk about God honor is because it is the foundation and basis upon which all other honor is derived from. It is from God honor that we're able to honor everybody else and everything else around us. Glory be to God. Now, as we continue our journey this morning, exploring this series of honor, I want to start on another dimension of honor. So it has been 5 weeks talking about God, but I want you to realize that the subject of honor is one that surfaces everywhere you look. And in the coming weeks, we're going to explore honor as it applies to our daily lives. We're going to look at honor as it applies to our daily lives. Now, in our daily lives, you realize that by and large, honor happens in the context of authority, doesn't it? Honor happens in the context of authority, and this issue has tripped many good believers. The issue of authority. And because we don't understand the relationship between honor and authority, many people are walking wounded. Many people are scarred. Many people are disgruntled because they don't understand the relationship between authority and honor. And for that reason, some who haven't fully experienced the fullness of God's blessing. And I want to teach you today and line upon line around this subject matter. So this morning, I want to talk to you on this title, Honor in the Face of Authority. We're going to talk about honor in the face of authority. How do we put these two together? Now, in order for you to rightly give honor where honor is due, it is important that you understand the biblical view of authority. Many times we are not taught these things from the pulpit. We are just told to comply. You're just told to submit. But why should I submit? From what basis? And it's important that we understand from scriptures what authority is like. You see, when we spoke about God honor, it was predominantly with the reference to submitting to God's authority. So when we spoke about God honor, it was like we're going to submit ourselves to the sovereignty of God, to his authority over our lives. And guess what? The same is true when it comes to giving honor in our day-to-day lives. Why? The recipient of honor is usually a person in authority. It's usually somebody who has a level of authority over us or around us. So let's put this down. To remind you what honor is to revere, to respect, to treat with deference and submission. That is what honor is. To revere somebody, to respect, to treat somebody in a unique way, in a very special way. That is what honor is. Now, with that definition in mind, you can only honor authority if you are obedient and submitted to it. And I know because of our experiences with authority, if you are not careful, something is rising up already inside of you right now as I'm talking about authority. But it's important that we understand authority from a biblical perspective. So let's establish a biblical truth about authority. Put this down. All authority comes from God and is therefore delegated authority. Okay, just trek along with me. That's a biblical truth. All authority comes from God. And you're going to ask me, are you saying Idi Amin's authority came from God? You know Idi Amin? Go and read your history. You're asking me, are you saying Idi Amin's authority came from God? Okay? Johann Botha's authority, did it come from God? Let's talk about it. It is important for us to understand, irregardless of what happens, all authority comes from God. And therefore, it is delegated authority. Why am I saying this? Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, let every soul be subject to higher authorities. It doesn't say let some. Let every soul be subject to the higher authorities. Why? For there is no authority but of God. The authorities that exist are ordained by God. They are appointed by God. They are put in place by God. Verse 2. So that the one resisting the authority resists the ordinance of God. And the ones who resist will receive judgment to themselves. It's a very uncomfortable scripture. Because of our experiences with authority. Some of us here really struggle with father figures. Because of what we experience with our own fathers. We have issues with government officials. Because of the abuse and the corruption that goes on. Pay back the money. Remember back in the days where the parliament was in pandemonium because of pay back the money, pay back the money. And you're saying here, are you really saying all of that authority is from God? Let's unpack it. Now when you look at that scripture, it says, let every soul be subject to higher authority. It therefore means there's an expectation that all human beings should submit themselves to civil or governmental authorities. And I want you to understand that the Lord will work with the system. If you're in a democratic state, the Lord will use the ballot box to appoint somebody in authority. He's a God of order. And therefore, he doesn't work outside of what is there to ensure that people are appointed. Now, this is not a suggestion. Can I say that? It doesn't suggest, it's a command. I don't know on what side of this command have you been falling lately. Now, if it's an opinion, we have an option, but here it doesn't sound like we have an opinion. It applies to every soul. Now, let's unpack authority this morning. The New Testament alludes to four types of authorities. The New Testament alludes to four types of authorities. So give me that slide. Four dimensions of delegated authorities are as follows. Number one, civil authority. And that speaks to governmental authorities, municipal leaders, your councillors. These are civil authorities. And it's in the Bible. Number two, church authorities. As you are seated there, you are looking at one that God has placed over this church. Church authority. And number three, family authority. Mom, dad, uncle, aunt, bunny, all of those in your families. And finally, social authorities. Who do we refer to as social authorities? We are talking about your employers, your teachers, your coaches, your team leaders, your team captains. All of those are social authorities. And guess what? They carry delegated authority from heaven. Glory be to God. Let's look at the examples of each one of these. Scriptures are full of them, but I've just picked up one scripture for each one of them to establish a principle. Number one, example of civil authorities. You'll find this in Romans chapter 13, verse 6. Romans chapter 13, verse 6. For because of this, you also pay taxes. Wow. There was a time where the Lord Jesus was questioned. Should we pay our taxes to Caesar? And the Lord Jesus said, give me a coin. They gave him a coin. And he says, whose face is on this coin? And they say, it's Caesar. And the answer was, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And here Romans chapter 13 verse 6 says, for because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's servants, always giving attention to this very thing. Therefore, give to all their dues. To the one Jew tax, the tax. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Fear to whom fear is due. And honor to whom honor is due. See, this is very, very important. The Bible calls them God's servants. And for many believers, this is a real test. Because it's not every government official whom you like. Yeah. Now, I remember I was at work this past week. And I was talking to one of my colleagues there, or the guy that does work there. We're talking about paying our taxes. And the guy said, you know what? I'm not going to pay my taxes in full. I'm going to take a portion of it and donate it. I've created a foundation of my own. And I'm going to use some of my income into that foundation so that the foundation can then execute certain things that I'm not seeing in my community. And I say to him, you know what? I'm a bit different. It is my responsibility to pay my taxes. And therefore, I will pay my taxes. What they do with the tax money is their responsibility. We have a right to demand for services, but if services are not delivered, we should not stop paying our taxes, because everyone shall be accountable. Glory be to God. We mustn't allow one's weakness to become your weakness. One's faults to become your fault. That is why the Bible says here, for because of this, you also pay your taxes. Caesar wasn't the greatest of leaders, but the Lord Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Hello, somebody? And as Christians, let's not get our wires crossed concerning these things, because we can become very emotional. But the Bible says, pay your taxes, because they are God's servant for your good. So, there are a lot of countries up north where we don't see where taxes go. People pay taxes every single month, but there's no water running in the taps. There's no electricity. Here we complain about 2 hours of load shedding. There are countries where I know they've got 4 days of load shedding where there's no electricity. What's going on here? Corruption, bad governance. We are not condoning the behavior of these officials, but we are saying give Jews where Jews are due. Glory be to God. Number two, example of social authorities. Where do we find this in the Bible? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many slaves as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Okay? Let as many slaves as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. You need to understand that the Bible was written in a certain context. And at that time, there was slavery going on. It's not condoning the behavior and what was going on. It's simply relating to the reality of the day. Okay? So, here it says here, if you are a slave, you need to count your master worthy of all honor. In our contemporary environment, you can replace slave and master with student and teacher, employee and employer, teammate and a team captain. It changes dynamics in your relationship when you understand that I need to give honor to those above me. Does somebody hear me this morning? That's an example of social authorities. Number three, example of family authority. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 2. We know this scripture. It says here, honor your father and mother. I want you to take note. We'll unpack this in the coming weeks. It doesn't say honor your good father. It doesn't say honor your good mother. It says honor your father and your mother. It's not about their character. It's about their position. Does somebody hear me this morning? You honor them not because they are present in your life. You honor them because God used them to bring you about. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on earth. You want to live long? Honor them. Remember them. It's also important. We'll unpack some of these things and the implications that they have. It says here, and fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. That's a different dimension of honor. I have to honor my children. And there is a way that a father honors his children. And here the Bible is alluding to it. Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Number four, example of church authority. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 12. The Bible says, and brothers, we beseech you to know those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Verse 13. And to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. Be at peace among yourselves. So important. Talking about those who are over you, those who labor among you, esteem them very highly in love. Esteem them. It doesn't say worship them. It says esteem them, honor them, rightly position them. Why? Because they labor among you. Now, what does this mean? It means when you honor anyone in any of these areas of authority, you are honoring God. When you honor anyone in these levels, four dimensions of authority, you are in turn honoring God. That is why we took time to dissect what God honor is about. So when you dishonor any of them, you are dishonoring God in the process. Now let's talk about the nature of a kingdom. Eswatini, Lesotho, a few monarchs that are still around here. We talk about the Zulu kingdom, but in a different setting. I want you to understand that kingdoms operate in ranks and hierarchy. That's how kingdom operates. And we talk about, we're singing here, yours is a kingdom. Forever and ever, the power and glory, yours is the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I need you to understand that in the kingdom of God, there is no democracy. It doesn't operate under principles of democracy. In the kingdom of God, there is appointment and ordination. There are ranks that God puts in place according to his will. Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says, when he ascended, he gave many to be apostles, teachers, pastors, evangelists, prophets. For what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So the Lord and the Father, the Godhead, put in place a structure in the kingdom system. Our problem is we've been raised in a democratic state. Or state of thinking, and we come into the kingdom of God, we want to relate with God with a democratic eyesight. And because of that, there are clashes. There are misunderstandings. Because we want to choose pastors into positions. We want to choose deacons into, we vote for ministers. And when we don't like them, we fire them. What are we doing here? We are messing around with kingdom principles. It is so important for us to have this revelation if we are to fully benefit from what God is doing. Now, one of the things I've realized is that naturally, human beings don't like to submit to authority. An unregenerated person does not like to submit authority. When you get born again, you still carry that mindset. That is why Paul says, be thou transformed by the renewal of your mind. It's as if we're born with a rebellious bone inside of us. You know where he's coming from? Lucifer. The Bible says he came to himself and says, man, I'm going to put my throne above the throne of God. It runs in the flesh. It runs in all of us. And that is why we need to renew our mind to understand authority. You see, people want to be independent of any authority. And this has led to a lot of church splits. You ask yourself, guys, why did you split? Why did you go different ways? Somebody just felt, no, man. Who does he think? God also called me. I want to have my own. I want to be called I want a title. And the guy leaves. What's going on here? Rebellion. And I want you to understand that in the church, the Lord Jesus gave authorities to many for the sake of guidance, protection, and provision. Why do we have elders in the church? Why do we have pastors? Why do we have evangelists? It's to ensure that there's guidance, there's protection, and there's provision. Yes, the church is not perfect. And many people leave churches because they're disillusioned. They've been hurt by leaders. The church is not perfect, but the idea of church is perfect. It is so important for us to understand that the church is like any other home. There's no home that is perfect, but the idea of marriage is perfect. And because of that, there are proliferation of home churches. There are people who leave this setting of a church and you're like, I don't believe in this gathering together of masses. Just want to go create my own church, home church somewhere. Do you know what's going on here? This person is bitter. They still want church without the accountability. They don't want to account to anybody. They don't want to answer to anybody. Put this down. All legitimate authority is from God and is for our well-being. All legitimate authority is from God and is for our well-being. And I want you to know that a truly born-again Christian will acknowledge and esteem authority, legitimate authority. Romans 13 verse 1. And I want you to take note, we're talking about legitimate authority. That is why we've got issues with people who take power by means that are not gazetted, coups. It's not a legitimate authority, that one. Up north, we call them soft coups, but they are coups. And there's no country that can thrive with illegitimate leaders over it. So, so important. So all legitimate authority is from God and is for our well-being. Romans 13 verse 1, we already alluded to that. Let every soul be subject to the higher authorities. Why? For there is no authority but of God. The authorities that exist are ordained by God. We can say, we voted you into power. You were just an instrument of ordination. Come on now. You were just an instrument. That is why we say, people, let's go vote. Let's pray about who we're going to vote for. Let's pray that the Lord will put in place authorities that fear God. Why? The Bible says, when the righteous are in rulership, the nations rejoice. And when the wicked and rulership, the nations groan. So, so important for us to understand these things. It says all authority exists because God is ordained, God is appointed, and not elected by man. Now, the implication is that when we resist delegated authority, you are refusing the one who has delegated the authority. We have leaders in our church. And one is made a cell group leader. And I think it's important for us to understand this. When you are a delegated authority, you are not just representing yourself. You are representing the one that has appointed you, who has appointed you. And therefore, you must always ask yourself, the stuff I'm about to say, is it in line with the person that delegated me? We talk about coups out there, but there are coups in church, where people start creating their own following in the church. Whatever the pastor says, the guy has a different view all the time. subverting authority. But I want you to understand that when you are delegated and when we send you to visit somebody at the hospital, you're not just going by yourself. You are representing the pastors. You are representing the leadership of the church. It is so important for us to know that you are carrying weight. Put this down. And I think I've alluded this to already. When you dishonor God's delegated authority, you dishonor God himself. So if God is so precious to you, because, I mean, it's easy for me to say, I honor God. But John writes and says, how can you say you love God, the one you don't see, and yet you cannot love the people that you see? Are they not made in the image of God? Therefore, how can I say, I submit to God's authority, but as for that, I cannot submit? It's a bit of a challenge. Now, what is the end result of us honoring authority? The end result is a life of peace and quietness. When we honor authority in our homes, when we honor our husbands and our wives, our children, it results in peace and quietness. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, the Bible says, first of all, then, I exhort that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority. Why? So that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. That's why we must pray. Even if we don't like the guy, let's pray. Because when we pray, heaven intervenes. You see, we can complain until we lose the hairs in our head, but the guy won't change. But if you pray, the guy will change. Might change. Why? Because God himself will intervene and change their hearts. Now, let's address the elephant in the room. I can pick up your question. And you're asking, should we submit to and honor ungodly authorities? I knew you were asking that. Just that you don't have the mic. Should we submit to ungodly authorities? Those who are abusive. Those who take advantage of us. Should we submit to that type of authority? Very good question. Because many leaders are corrupt. Many leaders are abusive. But what does the Bible say? You see, we need to read the Bible carefully in order to understand what it is saying. Give me Romans 13, 1 again. I want to show you something. The Bible says, for there is no authority but of God. For there is no authority but of God. It says authority is of God. It does not say godly authority. It comes from God, but it does not say godly authority. It's a very important distinction we need to have. It has come from God. But it does not necessarily say what has come from God will do what God wants it to do. A person has a prerogative to follow what God has called him to do. Very, very important. Why is this the case? Let's talk about Pharaoh. Was Pharaoh of God? Did he come from God? Was he ordained by God? Pharaoh was not a great guy at the end. Pharaoh was appointed by God. Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. The Bible says, I have raised you up. I have appointed you. And there is a reason and a purpose for every leader that's appointed by God. Pharaoh was appointed by God. Nebuchadnezzar was called the servant of God. Darius and Cyrus were called my servants. And yet, they were pagan kings. They were worshipping other gods. They did not even care about the God of heaven. But God says, I have appointed them. They are my servants. Darius was the guy whom God used to release the children of Israel from captivity, from Babylon back to Jerusalem. And when he released them, they were not released like slaves. They were given everything they needed. Servants of God. It is so important, and we're trying to answer this question, should we submit to ungodly authorities? Authorities that is so bad in our sight. Now, let me anchor this principle by referring to the story of David and King Saul. I always think that if we anchor our principles in a story in the Bible, it will stick. So let's look at King Saul and David. You see, King Saul was not the greatest of kings. He had a murderous spirit on him. And that murderous spirit caused David to be homeless, not for 1 year, not for 5 years, but for 14 years. King Saul was after David. You know, I was reading and I realized King Saul left every other battle to pursue this little boy. There was a place where the Bible says he took 3,000 soldiers because he had heard that David was hiding in a cave somewhere and he was pursuing David. Before that, the Bible says Saul wanted to kill David. He held a spear at him. He held a spear at his son Jonathan. Saul, what's going on here? Was Saul of God? Saul was ordained by God. The Bible says, I have set up Saul as king. Though the people cried out and they said, give us somebody as a king. We want to be like any other nation. It was already in the heart of God to give them a king. You would find in the book of Deuteronomy that it was not a new idea. So God ordained Saul into position. And David had many opportunities to kill Saul. But David did not kill Saul. Why? Saul had been appointed by God. I want you to realize that if you are under authority and you subvert authority in order to pursue what you feel God has called you to, you become illegitimate. And David understood that. He knew that God had called him as king. Remember, at the age of 16, David was anointed by Prophet Samuel. He was anointed by Prophet Samuel to be the king. Remember the situation where Samuel was asking, say, Jesse, where are your boys? He was ordained, but he was released back into the field. And for 14 years, David refused to take over what God had given him by force. And sometimes God has called us, and we run ahead of God, and we do things prematurely, resulting in things going pear-shaped. So David was called by God. He looked at Saul and he knew very well that throne there is mine. But he knew his time was not yet. So the opportunities that David had to kill Saul, David was being tested. And I want you to realize that from time to time, you will be pushed. You'll be tested by God. He will place you under ungodly authority to see the state of your heart. In one occasion, David found Saul in a very compromising position where he was relieving himself in a cave, okay? And David crouched close to Saul and he cut off a portion of his garment, okay? That was an opportunity. I don't know if it was you, if it was me, I would have said, the Lord has delivered my enemies into my hands. I would have annihilated him right there. But David understood, not by power, not by might. There's a God in heaven who works things out for me. And the Bible says after he had cut a portion of his robe, his conscience was stricken. 1 Samuel 24 verse 5. The Bible says, afterward, David's conscience was stricken because he had cut off the corner of Saul's robe. If the Lord would give your enemies right into your hands, what will you do? An opportunity to get back at your boss. What would you do? Because he had cut off the corner of Saul's robe. So he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed. He still had the audacity to call Saul his master. It wasn't about the behavior of Saul, it was about the position that Paul held. And many times we don't get that right. I remember talking to some guy who was having troubles at his church. His leaders. And I said to him, my friend, you need to pray. If the Lord wants you in that place, submit to that leadership. Honor that leadership. If you cannot do that, move out of that space. It is so important. I was challenging him. I said, listen here, he is your pastor. He is your spiritual father. Regardless of what he has done, regardless of what he has said, if you feel that is where God has called you to serve, honor that man. The Lord will see you through. The Lord will vindicate you. And here is David calling a murderous king his master, calling him the anointed of God. Wow. And he said, may I never lift my hand against him since he is the Lord's anointed. I mean, David, don't you know that God has rejected this guy already? Remember the story where Samuel said, the Lord has rejected you as king today. It was an issue between God and Saul. As far as David was concerned, he was still in a place of authority. And I want you to know that there is no leader that goes unnoticed by God. There is stuff that will go on, that goes on between the leader and God. Please don't stand in between God and the leader. So, so important. What is the point here? David saw beyond the cruelty of Saul and saw the authority upon him. Who was the king of Israel at that time? It was Saul. There wasn't any other king. Though in the spiritual realm, stuff had shifted already. Because God had told him, I have rejected you. But in the physical, he was still positioned as a king of Israel. Sometimes the Lord, again, I've said this already, sometimes the Lord will test your honor of authority by placing you under ungodly authority. We like saying, all things work together for our good. Yeah, in that workplace, all things work together for your good. So in other words, do not allow someone else's dishonor to cause you to dishonor God. Now put this down. The honor of authority has little to do with the leader. So important. The honor of authority has little to do with the leader, but everything to do with the position and the giver of authority. I remember talking to somebody who is in a church situation where the pastor, things have gone wrong and there's infidelity and everything else, but the pastor remains there. And the person says, you know what? I feel God has called me into this place. And there is a reason why I'm here. And I'm going to honor him. Regardless of what has happened, the Lord spoke to me. And therefore, the Lord gave that person grace to remain in that environment. If God has not given you grace to remain under a certain leadership, move for your good. Does somebody hear me this morning? So we are saying here, the honor of authority has little to do with the leader. It would be awesome if the leader is godly. It makes it easy for us. But in a case where things have gone pear-shaped with the leader, as long as you are there, you've got to honor the position and the giver of authority. Does somebody hear me this morning? This is not easy stuff, but I'm teaching you stuff that will help you to walk in God's blessing. So David honored the king, even when the king dishonored David. Because a number of times, Saul would say, "Oh, my son David, you are more honorable than me. You are more righteous than me." And David says, "But then, my father, why are you pursuing me as if you are pursuing after a dog?" Another opportunity came where the Lord put them to sleep. I mean, Saul's camp was put to sleep by God. You see, God was busy testing the heart of David. And there they were in a deep sleep. Maybe they were sedated by angels. I don't know whatever was going on there. And the Bible says, the sword of Saul was stuck in the ground next to his head. Man, that's easy meat to fry. But David came, took the sword, took the water, says, "I'm not going to kill this guy." And he went off. Now, because David honored the authority of his leader, in return, God greatly honored David. If you go into the Psalms, you'd find that God would say, "David, a man after my own heart." God promised to strengthen David. God promised to beat down David's enemies. God promised to be with David forever. He actually said to David, "There will always be somebody from your lineage on the throne." Wow, what a promise. And what was the trigger of that? He passed the test of honoring ungodly authority. Now, I want you to realize that throughout humanity, God has appointed every leader, whether they were godly or not, for a specific reason. God appointed them. Talking about Saul, Saul ultimately faced God's judgment because he died in a gruesome way with his son Jonathan next to him. Saul committed suicide. He fell over his sword. I want you to realize this morning, and you can put this down, every delegated authority will give account to the one who delegated the authority. Every delegated authority will give. There is a day of reckoning, saints. There is a day that I will answer for everything that I've said and done in this church. For as long as I'm the leader here, I must always remember that nothing will not be revealed. Nothing will not be exposed. Every lie, every manipulation, every work of darkness, I will have to give account. And if you have that understanding, you go to bed in peace. You do your part, because we all know that all of us will appear before him and we shall give an account for the life we have lived in this body. Hebrews 13, verse 17. The Bible says, "Obey your leaders." Wow. "Obey them and submit to them, for they watch over your souls as those who must give an account." As those who must give an account. Every leader in this church, you need to understand, is a place of accountability. We account to one another, but we shall account before the great throne of God. That day will come. And therefore, the way we live must be lived in that understanding, with the view of accountability. The leaders in government, right now, some of them don't even know God. And I want you to know, every leader will give an account. "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they watch over your souls as those who must give an account. To this end, allow them to lead with joy and not with grief, for that would be of no advantage to you." Put this down as we close now. It is for you to submit to authority, and it is for God to judge those in authority. It is for you to submit, it is for God to judge. And even the way we talk about authority, let's put this down again. As we close, I want to put this into the right context. The Bible teaches unconditional submission to authority, but not unconditional obedience. Hey, what are you talking about? There is a difference between submission and obedience. Obedience deals with our actions. Submission deals with our attitude towards authority. Two different things. Submission has to do with your attitude, your response to a leader. Okay? Obedience has to do with your action, living out, taking instructions from a leader. And the Bible is very clear around these things, that when it comes to obedience, every level and action of obedience has to be seen in the light of His Word, in the light of what is on the heart of God. So if you have a leader that is asking you to do something that is ungodly, submission would bring you to a place where you refuse in an honorable way. Those are two different things. Do you understand that point? The apostles were brought before the Sanhedrins and the Pharisees, and they were told to shut up and stop talking about Jesus. And they said to them, with all due respect, who should we obey, you or God? They chose to obey God. What was going on here? They did not go there with pancakes and everything and dishonoring. No, they had a decent conversation with these religious leaders and told them, sorry, we cannot obey that instruction because it is against our God. Submission and obedience, two different things. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told by the king to worship the idol, and they say to the king, King, sorry, we are not able to listen to what you are saying. They did not go there full of air, full of anger, full of all sorts of things. No, they were still submitted, but they refused to obey something that would lead them to sin against their God. And I want to say to you today, if there is a government that comes to you and says, go ahead and abort that baby, it is legal to abort, what do you do? The Bible tells us that the power of life and death, it's in God. God is the one who determines what happens with life. So there is a difference between submission and obedience. So, so important. I hope that liberates some of you today. When the Bible says, honor your mother and father, it says, honor your mother and father in the Lord. And what that means is that if my mom today comes and says, Michael, we need to go and talk to your dad at the gravesite, that day she will see a different Mike. Because it's against my God. I will not do that. I'll say, Mom, with all my love for you, I am sorry. I won't be able to do that. That is why the Lord Jesus said, you think that I came to bring peace? No, I came to bring a sword. I came to bring a sword between the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, between mom and dad. There is a reckoning time where you'll have to stand for what is of God, and the entire world will castigate you. Glory be to God. Get something this morning. I was trying to create context here for the rest of this talk, because honor happens in the context of authority. And if we have this understanding, we are able to give honor where honor is due. Thank you. So, so important. I want us to bow our heads and pray. Talking about authority, as I was praying this morning at home, I just had a sense that there are some of us here who've been wounded by authority. You've got father wounds. You've got mother wounds. But the Lord wants to set you free today. The Lord wants to bring healing so that you can relate with authority in the correct way. I want to pray for you right now. With our heads bowed down, I know we are over time. But just give me a moment, a minute. I want to pray for you right now. In your heart, you made some inner vows regarding authority because of what happened to you. But the Lord wants to heal you. The Lord wants to bring wholeness in your life right now. And the Lord is saying to you, forgive. Forgive him. Forgive her. Forgive them. For they did not know what they were doing. The Lord loves you.
If you are here and you're saying, you know what, I'm hurt, I'm wounded, just lift your hands and I want to pray for you right now. I'm seeing your hands. I'm seeing your hand. Anyone else? When you raise your hand, you're making a step in the spirit. You're being deliberate and you're saying, Lord, I'm here. I need your healing. I need freedom. Lord, I need freedom from this pain. I need freedom from this pain. Lord, I've been betrayed and I cannot trust. You can put your hands down. I want to pray for you right now. Father in heaven, I pray today. I pray for my sisters. I pray for my brothers who have lifted their hands regarding this matter. Lord, you know what they went through. You know their experiences. You know the pains that they have gone through, Lord. But today I pray, oh God, you came to take away our pain. You came to heal and to mend the broken hearts. Today, by your Holy Spirit, I pray for a healing to take place. I pray, Father God, where they have made vows concerning authority figures, Lord, that they're able to let go of those vows today. They're able, Father God, to experience a freshness in their hearts, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you'd help them where they need to forgive, because their healing is attached to their forgiving. Lord, I pray today that they're able to let go of those people. Father, we are not saying what happened was right. It was wrong. But for them to move forward, Lord, I pray that they're able to let go. They're able to heal, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you this morning for your goodness. Father, as they start the journey, Father, some of them might need to go and make conversations with those leaders. I pray that you give them wisdom, you give them boldness to do what they need to do, Father. And so, Lord, we thank you today. Holy Spirit of God, do what you alone can do. We give you glory and we give you praise. With our heads still bowed down, I want to pray for you. If you're here, you haven't given your life to Jesus. If you are here, that is the greatest authority to submit to. He is an authority that liberates. He is an authority that gives you life. He is an authority that gives you peace. And so today, you are carrying your sins and you don't know what to do with them. This authority I'm talking about, called Jesus, takes away your sins. He forgives you. He gives you a new start. If you are here right now and you're saying, I want to receive Jesus, just lift your hands and I'll pray with you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father of heaven, we thank you this morning. Daddy, I've spoken your word this morning and I pray that your word will continue working in the hearts of your people. I ask you that your people would go on a journey to understand this biblical view of authority. I thank you, Father, for your goodness. I thank you, Father, for your grace. We speak a blessing over this week coming. May this word not be stolen. May it bear much fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, in the name of Jesus. And everybody say it. Amen. Come, let's clap our hands to the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. God is good.